art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this June the 5th, or if you are on the east or coast or central time zone, then you know that it's now June the 6th. In fact, I think June the 6th is D-Day. So happy D-Day, everybody. What is that? Well, I guess we could call it Don and Don Day. We've got Don Newsom doing the sound tonight for us. Happy to have him actually paying attention to the show tonight, the busy man that he is. Before we bring tonight's guest on board, I have a brief announcement. And that announcement has to do with this video that I've been talking about the last few days or so. We got a call last week on the 29th during our show with Jim Murray during the beginning of the second hour, and we ended up going over by about an hour. Last week was a two-hour show. We hadn't planned that, but it was an unusual, a welcome, and a very unexpected call from a gentleman representing himself as an ambassador for the Earth to the United, listen to this carefully, United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon. And he told us many, many things. In fact, I sort of wrote a synopsis because I created a video. This interview is so interesting, so compelling, that I felt that we should try to give it some visual representation, and it would be something that people would pay attention to because you can't see the radio. Of course, radio listeners use their imaginations, and they're very good at visualizing. However, this message is so important that a lot of people that don't listen to radio would probably come to the message if it were presented in video form. So therefore, I added some pictures to the audio and even some video to the audio, and I created sort of a documentary around this somewhat around 45-minute long telephone conversation. The conversation we had was over the internet radio here during the Evident Footprints show. It wasn't planned. In fact, what was most remarkable was the clarity of the call. It sounded much clearer than any telephone communications I have ever heard. And yet, this call was made from 26,000 miles in space. Actually, over a certain area in South Texas. And they were linking up with a system there, and the call came into our phone system that way. So, you know, technology works both ways. Now, I wrote sort of a synopsis, and before we bring tonight's guest on board, I want to share this with you because these were my thoughts about this call and what I know about the United Galactic Federation. And I've known about this group for quite some time. Long before last Friday. So I'd like to read the commentary that I wrote on the movie page, and I'll give you instructions on how to get there in a moment, but I want to first focus on this message because I think it really applies in general to this whole question of what's going on here on Earth and how the rest of this galaxy and probably the universe sees us, sees what we do and what has to change. You want, those of you who are looking for change, listen carefully. And so I'm going to read from the commentary. The the title of this little documentary that I did is called Evident Footprints Meets the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon. On May 29th, 2009, during the Evident Footprints radio show on BBS Radio, a call was received by an individual identifying himself as General Jeremiah, a commanding general with the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon. Because his call was so interesting, not to mention revealing, informative, and inspirational, the show was extended by an additional hour. General Jeremiah described his involvement with the Federation as an ambassador for planet Earth, and he answered a multitude of questions during his 45-minute impromptu interview, describing the organization as an alliance of 574 planets throughout our galaxy. He phoned into the show to extend support and encouragement for the message being broadcast Monday through Friday nights on BBS Radio. Before discounting this important interview, consider that a few people have already had contact with people from other parts of the galaxy. After all, we fly in outer space, don't we? And though the government consistently lies to the public about the realities of outer space, we have been and are being visited by entities from all parts of the universe. In fact, the general described thousands of ships that are continuously landing on planet Earth, beyond the 2,000 or so flown by the Federation. Earth has become a sitting duck for entities that wish to take over the planet and its people. Certain government leaders have been contacted and offered the opportunity to join the United Galactic Federation, though there are definite precursory requirements and stipulations that must be fulfilled before that can occur. General Jeremiah states that our planet is not quite ready yet. If in doubt, ask George W. Bush, Vladimir Putin, Dmitry Medvedev, and now Barack Obama. This list is by no means exhaustive, but representative of what has already occurred. What must we do to become a permanent member of the United Galactic Federation? We must refrain from making war, especially those that enrich the international banking cartels and corporations. We must stop the systematic exploitation of Earth's natural resources, its environment, and its people. Governments will be required to end the systematic extermination of the people through war, disease, pharmaceutical drugs, illegal drugs, intentional toxification, and starvation. We must begin to accept individual collective responsibility for what we create, co-create, while here on Earth. We must put an end to the rampant corruption that has taken over this planet. We must end the intentional impoverishment of the masses for the benefit of a few self-appointed controllers of the world's resources, including food, water, and alternative energy technologies. We must honor the Creator's laws. Only then can we begin to see the fallacies of our own legal system. We must end the use of nuclear weapons and other dangerous technologies. We must end religious oppression, racial genocide, and the dumbing down of the masses. We must honor truth and recognize the endless stream of lies and propaganda for what they are. We must honor and respect all life throughout the universe and our God-given sovereignty. We must learn to love one another. These are but a few of the most rational stipulations offered to our leaders, but have they really heard what was proposed? So far, they have not heard one word. As promised, General Jeremiah forwarded some photos taken on planet Balqui, one of the members within the United Galactic Federation. True to his description, these photos demonstrate that there exist other planets in our galaxy that resemble our Earth. It is evident that Balqui's atmosphere and water are clean. As a result, trees, plants, and other vegetation thrive, and so do its inhabitants. As you watch this video and listen to the radio interview, pay close attention to the nature photos which appear from time to time. Balqui is remarkably similar to Earth in appearance, yet there is something surreal, even sacred, about its topography. You will see some interesting phenomena occurring in the wintertime photos of Balqui's northern hemisphere. I challenge anyone to designate the location of the volcano in one photo or the location of the mountainside community in the first photo. For that matter, the locations of any of these beautiful photos. General Jeremiah asserts that he will again contact the Evident Footprints radio show. We trust that will come to pass. In the meantime, we would do well to consider what he says and trust that we are being watched. The insanity, chaos, and corruption has run its course. There is no other place to look now but upwards toward the heavens, or should I say, toward heaven. I hope you enjoy this unique presentation. There will be many more to come. And special thanks are extended to General Jeremiah and the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Andon, for supplying the photos of planet Balqui. Now, for your information, this video will soon be available in high-resolution format on CD through this website, meaning directlightproductions.com. And I may be arranging something to where BBS helps us out with that, because they're more set up to do that than I am. And if I spend all my time taking orders for CDs, I won't get any research done. The complete two-hour audio archive will soon be available for listening or download on the Evident Footprints page, as usual, those of you who listen to my archives on my site, or on iTunes under Evident Footprints, or by hitting the subscribe button. So, there you have it. Now, let's bring on tonight's guest. He was with me when this event, this momentous event, occurred last week. And he is a scientist, not easily rattled by such occurrences. He's also an inventor. He is a lecturer, a teacher, and he's even an author, and he's our good friend and our resident science advisor every Friday night on Evident Footprints, Mr. Jim Murray. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Don. How are you tonight?
I'm feeling very good. I worked hard for 2 days putting this video together and got it done. And I have, you know, I feel a sense of accomplishment. So I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Yeah, I can tell you're in rare form. You've got that extra layer of energy, which is approaching effervescence.
Well, you have 3 weeks to decide if you're going to accept your offer for a ride on the flying saucer. Have you given it any thought this past week?
Oh, I've given it a lot of thought. I mean, after all, you're very familiar with my personal history. And, you know, that's a dream or a fantasy or whatever you want to call it that has been with me almost since my teenage years, you know, with the start of my work with Gene Carini and then getting involved with the Advanced Saucer Development Project in Michigan. And even after having discovered some of the unpublished files of Tesla concerning his magnetic airships, I mean, I've had that kind of stuff in my head for years. So if the offer is extended for real, I will probably accept. There's no question about it.
Oh, yeah. It's a genuine offer, I can assure you. Now, as I mentioned, Jim, we were promised photos. Actually, we were told we could take photos off the air. You and I had a chance to talk about this just very briefly, and I understand that you haven't seen the video. I was only able to get it up on my site about 2 hours, 2.5 hours before showtime. So it wasn't enough time to give you an alert to, get to a computer and have a look at it. But I'm quite surprised after having spent so much time, let's say, nitpicking all the little things I was doing with this, when I got it on the site and actually watched it to make sure it was functioning properly, I was amazed. It looks really good, and it sounds very good. In fact, one thing that people remark about is the quality of the sound. You heard how clear his voice was, and there is a tone that's heard. Normally, we don't hear this on a telephone, but it sounds like a repeater tone, something in the neighborhood of 440 hertz that just runs continuously. And when you or I talk, we sort of dominate it like a compressor would, taking over a music bed. It has sort of a ducking effect, and that sound goes away. But when the general talked or there was silence, you could hear that tone. That tone is coming from space, or let's say their equipment hooked up through our equipment. but the call was from 26,000 miles above the Earth, which even makes it all the more phenomenal.
Yes, it does, and it's very nice that it originated out there and not here, because I would hate to see Ma Bell's bill for a call of that sort.
Well, you're in an effervescent mood yourself tonight.
Well, it may be it's catching,
Well, I've got to tell you, and I know some people are going to want to go there and look at it. Wow, it's too much. They want to see it. All I can ask is so you can listen to tonight's show. If you do go to the site, you can turn the volume of the video down and then listen to tonight's show, or you can go listen to it after tonight's show. Because we're going to touch upon many of the things that we saw. Jim, I have to tell you, the land is just breathtaking. The scenery at winter time and some of the temperature phenomena that go on and how snow looks is really something. I mean, there's another planet that has snow and it has these postcard type settings just like we have here on Earth. The thing I notice is that it seems to be much more pristine, and you don't see garbage along the side of the road. In fact, I didn't even see any roads. I just saw nature. I saw mountain ranges and gorges and rivers and lakes. Even animals, two wolves standing on a frozen section of what appears to be a frozen river, and it's almost like a scene from Alaska. And at the same time, from the same vantage point, some other photos were taken. Actually, I have a new Evident Footprints design I can use, and it's footprints in the snow on this planet. And I tell you, there are no places on Earth like these. There are similarities, but you will notice when you see the undergrowth, some of the wildflowers or weeds or things that we would call weeds, they're just absolutely beautiful. Very, very rich colors, and you can tell that there's an orgone field around the planet, and you can see the effect of a heightened quantity of ozone in the atmosphere and the light phenomena that it plays in the clouds or with the sun or the blue skies or even the mountains in the foreground. It's just breathtaking. And a few people have seen these photos and they're just absolutely awestruck. I don't know what else to say.
Well, captivating that kind of beauty verbally isn't easy to begin with. So I can understand the difficulty of what you're trying to relate. But looking at it from the scientific perspective, it doesn't surprise me too much that that kind of beauty and Earth-like qualities are out there someplace.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we already know the tendency of the Creator is to do the same things over and over again throughout the universe. I mean, even if you just look at the way things are set up in our solar system, they're not unique. I mean, they are unique in the sense that individual planets have certain qualities which are associated with them. But the central ideas around which all solar systems and galaxies are built are very, very repetitive. I mean, we see the same idea repeated over and over again, a central star with orbiting planets, the use of the same atomic materials or elements over and over again, and many, many solar systems arranged to form a galaxy, and then hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of galaxies, you know, sprinkled around through the universe. It's all repetitive, and it's all real estate that has a purpose. So it stands to reason, at least in my book, that we can take it a step further and say, well, we don't even have to contemplate the issue that out there amongst the millions and millions and millions of the planets that have Earth-like characteristics, there must be thinking beings and life forms similar to what we find here. Granted, the intellectual levels may be different. They may be in advance of our own. In some worlds, they might be less developed than our own. But ever since I was a kid, I could never, ever be dissuaded from the belief that the space or the universe as we know it is literally teeming with life. If that were not true, then, my friend, we would be freaks.
Yes, yes, I totally agree with you. And if you recall, he said that these are people that, for all intents and purposes, look very much like us. Although I would presume, and would probably be extremely accurate, saying that they are probably very fit physically, not overweight, not sickly, not negative, and probably very happy in being who they are and doing what they do. And it's very evident also, aside from the fact that they have this long lifespan, that what they say they do. And I, you know, I didn't even get into describing the religious aspect of this. I thought that that was something for people to hear for themselves rather than me expound on it. Other than the reference to God's laws. Now, I'm presuming, intuiting what they would lay down as ground rules for being part of something like the Galactic Federation. The United States is not ready, but they've been told, and Russia is not ready, but they have been told what has to occur on this planet. And I presume that others, I presume the Chinese have been told as well. I don't have to go into those specifics, but I referred to actual encounters that I was aware of. So they have talked to these people, and they have been lied to by our leaders. And that's, when we know they lie to us, they have to lie to everybody. Do you understand? they don't want the truth to come in through the back door either.
Well, I don't think that's any surprise. truth is a vanishing commodity on this world.
But go ahead.
That has to change. Not just so that we can be a member of the Federation, but because it doesn't leave anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where does it take us? If our leaders lie to us constantly only for their own, the perpetuation of their own devices and their own pursuits, it certainly doesn't say much for whatever it is that they are trying to achieve, and it doesn't say anything much for us either, for having let it go on for so many years.
Oh, yes, and to be so flippant about it and so apathetic or ignorant, you know, and it's, and I'm not being judgmental here. I'm saying when I speak of ignorance, I'm not calling people ignorant, you know, as an insult. What I'm saying is you can be ignorant of something that's right in your face because you're so entranced with all the bells and whistles that are offered. As replacements for sanity and as means to impede the progress of consciousness and intelligence and wisdom and knowledge. It seems like everything they do is designed anymore to produce a certain kind of feeling, a certain kind of emotion, or a certain kind of reaction. You see, when we're not creating, we're not acting. And you know, we're not acting upon our own volition. When others create on our behalf and create for us, I'm not talking about the arts. I'm talking about a belief system, a mind control system, a series of brainwashing episodes that don't seem to stop. You know. At every turn, there's something to lure in the unsuspecting, unconscious individual that's just going through life day to day, not really thinking much about what's going to happen. Just it's sort of like, well, let's just wait and see what happens, and nothing happens, and then they say, well, see, I knew nothing was going to happen, you know, because life is boring, and this town is boring, and my job is boring, and my family's boring, and I'm boring. You know, people, kids today are notorious for saying, I'm bored. And I have a saying that if they're bored, they're a boring person. There's so much one can do with their time outside of being entertained by something that just holds your attention on a certain frequency that really not healthy for you. And it breeds sickness, and it breeds stupidity, and apathy, and a real depressing outlook on life. Any comments, Jim?
Yeah, well, you might as well be talking about the activities on a foreign planet when it comes to that subject and me. Because I have never been bored in my life, and I'm not going to start now. There is so much to do and so much to learn that I just don't understand how anybody can register that particular complaint. I mean, just today I ordered a course in advanced calculus just because I wanted to learn more about it. I mean, and I do something like that every day. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't expect everybody to have those, you know, types of interests, don't get me wrong, but how can you be bored if you're alive? I can see, you know, passing time in a casket 6 feet underground might be boring, but as long as you're breathing, I think it's impossible to be bored, or it should be. It really should be. The magnificence of this entire creation that we're exposed to is enough to keep the brain supercharged for many hundreds of years. And you don't need TV for that.
Certainly not. Now, radio's important, I have to say.
I like radio.
Yeah, you know, if the technology of the television, you know, the transmission of motion pictures and sound were integral, I would really pursue something on television, but because there's just so much more that you can do with it. But it's being used for a totally different purpose than I would use it. And unfortunately, even the shows that people watch, and these shows that are really showing you documentaries, whether they're about animals or they're about wars or they're about political leaders or some race of people up in the mountains or in the jungle, they don't always give you the truth, especially when they start delving into facts of history. There's so much that is really just made up because it sounds good or because it has an overall impact on people's mindset and on a very basic or foundational level that it lays the groundwork for everything else that happens to you. People watch these shows, and because they have an announcer throughout the show, it gives it some sort of official meaning or representation. And so when people hear this official voice narrating a documentary, it seems serious. So it must be real. And if it seems real, then it must be true. And so it's very easy to propagandize one through that method by telling us things like Adolf Hitler committed suicide or certain world rulers were executed or certain criminals were executed when we know that they weren't. You see? So what I'm getting at here is the medium, if it were used properly, could lead to higher truths, and it would probably have to take on a completely different type of technological foundation for transmission to avoid all the things that it does now, emitting electromagnetic radiation and the possibilities of putting subliminal images or subliminal sounds to affect one's psyche on an unconscious level. That's not operating with integrity. And that's why we would never get invited into the Galactic Federation. You can't look these people in the eyes and lie to them. They're too smart, and they can read thoughts anyway. In fact, they can read the thought before the lie is actually told. Our leaders' underestimation of their abilities is astounding. And they don't really need to talk to these people to know what they're up to either. As the general explained, they can monitor all communications on this planet. Now, if they don't have anything to hide, they wouldn't have anything to worry about, right?
Well, you would think, but we all know that that's not the case. I've often trembled wondering just how much is hidden and what its purposes are. This world is a very difficult place to live, and it must change. And it will change. That's the irony of it. Even if nothing good happens, it will change. Because the planet itself will eventually draw the line. I've said that a million times. And I know I'm right. So, you know, we actually, as a race, have a very narrow window at this point in time and some very important decisions to make within the brackets of that window. whether or not we want to become responsible for ourselves, improve our consciousness and fix our sights on a star, literally, or whether we want to continue to wallow in our own muck and leave things up to Mother Earth, who will set it right in her way. And I don't really know exactly how much time we have, but just judging from the goings-on around the Earth, I would say that we should give serious consideration to getting our act together as soon as possible.
Yeah, I would agree with you. In terms of the technology that we discussed, we didn't really get into any heated discussion about new technologies, but crystals were mentioned. And I found that particularly interesting because crystals allow us on a metaphysical level to transcend the physical. And they know this. You know, they've had their hands on looking glass technology, and certain artifacts have been hidden, taken to British museums, or tucked underneath the Queen's throne. So, you know, they go to great extremes to get their hands on these sacred artifacts or these historical artifacts, and yet they deny that they exist. Don't you find that strange behavior? Is that pathological or just psychotic?
Well, I don't know how to categorize it in terms, you know, that relate to what you've, to the choices you've given. But it's easy enough to it's easy enough to understand in general, though, because
it's a Gallup poll. I'm giving
you. There you go.
It's a predetermined answer. Okay. No, I didn't mean to interrupt. I just wanted to get that out.
No, okay. You know me. I got thick hide. But I think that the real answer lies in the fact that they have created a certain mystique about themselves, the so-called elite rulers of this planet. And anything that they cannot explain, you know, from a posture of authority, they will always suppress because it makes them look bad. First, they train the entire world population to look up to them as having all the answers. Mm-hmm. So they can't very well do the reverse and say, well, when it comes to this particular thing, I haven't a clue. It doesn't go over very well. So it's a lot easier to just hide the artifact, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
and hope that it goes away. Or hope that they eventually can explain it, one or the other.
Yes. Jim, we have a caller. Would you like to take a call?
Well, have I ever turned one down?
I don't know. You haven't divulged that much about your personal life, but... we have, actually, this gentleman has been a guest on Evident Footprints a few times, and he's my good friend from New England. His name is Joe Church. Joe, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Hi, Don. Thank you. Don, I was wondering if I could ask Jim a question. I understand Jim's a scientist.
Yes.
And we just finished a little Bible study here, about five of us, and... we said we were going to listen to your show tonight. Because I did want to ask Jim, who's a scientist, a question.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing well, Joe, and yourself?
Great, great, Jim. Jim,
Where about are you calling from in New England, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm calling from Rhode Island.
No kidding. You know, I went to school there.
Oh. Whereabouts?
Did you ever hear of Mount St. Charles Academy in Woonsocket, Rhode Island?
Sure, I did, yes.
Well, yeah. I was a Mountie for 4 years.
Oh, right. Great hockey teams over there, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They're still strong in that.
Yeah.
But what is your question, Joe?
My question is this, Jim. You were talking about change earlier. And, there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Paul says, I want to show you a deep mystery. He says in 51, 1 Corinthians 15, 51, he says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, which means die, but we shall all, A-L-L, be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of the eye. That'd be instant. As a last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. In other words, the flesh must put on an incorruptible flesh body, and the mortal, which is the soul, must put on immortality. I believe some will make the change. A few will make the change just before the end, this immortality. But most will have to maintain immortality till the end of the millennial age, which I refer to it as. This change of all flesh instantly in a twinkling of an eye, that's all flesh worldwide. I've asked scientists before, what would change all flesh on the earth instantly in a twinkling of an eye? And they've given me the answer that it wouldn't be a nuclear blast, because that wouldn't do it instantly all around the world. Do you have any thoughts on what could possibly, in a scientific realm, cause this change to take place?
Absolutely. You're certainly aware of the fact that everything vibrates at a particular rate. And that's a very fundamental aspect of all creation. And in the world that we are born and raised in, there are certain fundamental vibrations which establish our perception of reality. Now, just imagine if those vibrations were suddenly increased to a higher octave, maybe two or three times higher than it is now. All of creation would immediately respond to that, including living flesh. So this is something that could be very realistic, because the planet Earth is now entering into a new region of the galaxy where it's supposed to encounter some kind of a change, some kind of an energy or a fundamental vibratory mode of expression. And the Mayan calendar predicted that would happen around the year 2012. So even though we don't know exactly what's supposed to happen, hypothetically, if the underlying vibration that allows us to perceive reality were to increase instantaneously, all of creation would be affected with it. Now, I grant you, it's only a theory, but it certainly could happen if the conditions were right.
Jim, so I'm inclined to agree with what you said. I might add that it's in terms of a matter of, you know, you're speaking of a rate of vibration, which would be a frequency. There are certain frequencies that will not be able to move into that dimension. Actually, that will be a dimensional shift of sorts.
Right.
Because I don't think it's so much in moving to a place as it is the lower vibrations being removed. In other words, how do you stay here on the Earth? The Earth would have to make that shift, and you would have to make that shift simultaneously with the Earth.
Well, unless you were burdened with so much negative energy already that your body couldn't respond to the higher octave.
That's what I'm alluding to. Yeah.
I don't know exactly what would happen. You'd probably stay in whatever remnant of the world remained at the lower frequency. So there would be like a gigantic separation of the higher notes from the lower notes, so to speak.
Well, remember my account of the vortex that I saw, where I saw the land shift about 3 feet higher, and I saw two mountains. And I wasn't hallucinating, I can tell you. It was so compelling that I knew that what I saw was real, and that feeling stayed with me, and I've been able to take that ability, that sight, let's say, with me to other places. It's not something that just occurs where that happened. That just happened to be where that perception was triggered within me. And so I add this to what you described, because there is an aspect of it that I think, you know, it's just like notes in a song. Certain notes go well together and other notes are very discordant. And when you have a cacophony of discordant vibrations, the intent usually is to remove those that cause the dissonance. So that would be if you replaced the song with the earth and the notes were the people, the discordant notes will be left off the page of the song. Joe, does that help?
That helps, guys. The incorruptible would put on the corruptible would put on incorruption. In other words, the flesh body. Whereas if I slap my one arm with the other arm, it I can feel it. It'd be painful. But in that other body, the incorruptible body, my hand would go right through the other one, and I wouldn't even feel it, but I could see it.
Mm-hmm.
What would cause that change? Would it be some kind of molecular separation or something, scientifically?
I think there would be a shift in one's DNA, in their electromagnetic makeup. There would be an opening to higher consciousness, and so the soul would lift the physical up to the frequency it has to go or has to be at to exist in that plane. It has to do with a lot of things. It has to do with whether or not you're going to qualify. It's a matter of integrity.
Yes.
It really is. It's integrity. If you take integrity out of the equation, what will you use as a prerequisite to have a ticket to move on?
Sure, sure.
And it's not necessarily that we would be judged by a creator. I think we can certainly do our own judging, our own evaluation of what we did, because you're going to be in a place when that time comes where you have to confront the truth.
Yeah, it'll be a self-cleansing.
Yes. And mm-hmm. and those that are unable to or have not learned a sufficient number of lessons are going to have to be held back to relearn them. Woe be to those that have done dirty deeds to people all over the planet, such as murdering millions of people. They've got a big bill to pay. The tab is going to be enormous. Jim, do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I had a conversation about that very issue a while back with a friend of ours. You know who I mean, our
yes.
friend Randy.
Yes.
And he was, of course, supportive of the idea that the vibratory level has to shift and those are going to go with it. But he brought out other aspects that are worthy of consideration also. And that is, in the concept that Joe brought up of a self-cleansing,
mm-hmm.
It would be very interesting, for instance, if some of these characters who have done nothing but evil their entire lives and spend all their waking hours thinking about how to do in another individual or another country or whatever they like to focus on, how far down can they go into debt without fading from existence when this when this shift occurs.
Why don't we use the Federal Reserve as the benchmark for a starting point?
Well, the people who have created that atrocity, for instance, the point I'm trying to make is it possible to be in so much karmic debt that when the point comes that you have to make a transition, that you don't have enough, you know, to make the payback, in which case, can you go out of existence?
Well,
on a mundane level, we're about to see the practical side of that, because the same institution that you mentioned has created the illusion that debt should be used for money, and now they're in a position where they can't pay, and they're going to go out of existence, for sure.
Yeah, certainly they've been very irresponsible with their illusions, haven't they?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, when you usurp power, or even when it's given to you, with it goes a certain responsibility. And, you know, they have never used that position to better the lot of mankind. They've used it to better and to serve their own kind and to pursue their personal agendas.
Mm-hmm.
So That's delegation of duty, no matter how you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Considering the vast amount of evil that's taking place on the planet because of that attitude and the entire life's work of so many individuals that are just blatantly selfish and intent upon their own ends only, I think the day of reckoning is going to be very severe for anybody that fits that description.
Mm-hmm. Well, Joe, does that clarify it a little bit for you?
It does, Don. Thanks a lot. And Jim, thanks a lot.
Well,
by
thank
the way,
you.
Jim, sir. Jim, by the way,
you.
I'm a LaSalle man.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, LaSalle,
New York?
What's that?
LaSalle Academy in New York?
No, in Providence.
Oh, in Providence. Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, nice having met you, Joe.
Yeah, same here, Jim.
Hey,
thank
Joe,
you
if you see Rick Adams, tell him I said hello, too.
Hey, will do, Don.
Okay, and say hi to John also.
Will do. He's here tonight.
Okay. After you've had a chance to look at this video I mentioned earlier, give me a shout out or something. Let me know your impressions of it, because
okay.
I know you're very interested in that topic as well.
Right, right. We'll do that.
Okay. All right, Joe. You have a good night.
You too, Don.
Okay.
Bye, Jim.
Yeah, that's a very thoughtful question there from a man that knows his Bible inside and out. It's, you know, you can find the truth in so many places. It is in words. It is in nature, despite what we've done to it. I come back to the topic that we were discussing earlier. What harm is done to anything, or maybe the better way to ask the question is, what is harmed by learning the truth? What is lost by us learning the truth? Is it,
there's only one thing lost that I'm aware of, and that's the ignorance you had before.
And
the thing that's interesting about it is it's not reversible.
Yeah. Well, I was implying that the power exerted over others is lost, and so is the enormous or the massive fictional wealth. That whole smoke and mirrors trick or parlor trick is basically blown out of the water. It evaporates, in a sense, because everything they do is to keep us from knowing the truth. How long can one keep up that fight? You know, the truth has a way of revealing itself, and that the truth has to be secret like everything else that's done to us is a perfect example of why this corruption has to be stopped. Just because we're missing out on the beauty of life and the beauty of having been created and given the ability to continue that creation as if you were handed the baton, so to speak. And what have we done with it as a mass of humanity? What have we really done to further ourselves along a path of ascension, if you want to call it that, to a higher state of consciousness and a higher state of being? We haven't done very much. So we should be critical of ourselves and not be so happy with these meaningless attention getters, these things that amuse us and don't teach us anything except to be, like you said, Jim, irresponsible. And those who proclaim to have all the answers and feel they're qualified to lead us are irresponsible. They begin from irresponsibility and they take it to a different level. I don't know what's worse than irresponsibility, other than just total destruction, but they seem to be headed along that path. In other words, if they can't retain what they feel they've created for themselves, then they want to take everything down with them. They want to destroy everything that's being destroyed. What's interesting, although they put themselves so high up, they constantly are dragging us down. They're not dragging us down by stepping on us. They're pulling us from our pant legs. That's how I see it.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And you know what's interesting, too, is, you know, for these elite, so-called, that have this illusion of their own, that they are so high and mighty and so superior to the rest of us. The irony of it is, when it comes to losing the ball game, they're just as unsportsmanlike as the kid who says, well, if we can't use my glove, I'm going to go home and I'm going to play the game. You know, it's that kind of an attitude, you know. So you're talking about people that have enormous egos, a great deal of power, but are as immature as they can possibly be when it comes to the world of reality. And spiritually, I think they're completely off the map.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think their method is sort of like just accepting only those who are willing to do their bidding. Anyone who's not willing to do their bidding is shunned or destroyed, whether that's murdered or poisoned or systematically targeted for financial ruin and breakup of family relationships and friendships and loss of accreditations and anything they can do to cause the person to feel that they've lost everything, you see. That's the only thing they know how to do to protect their corruption. And I think that's a pretty sad state of affairs, that people that are that desperate for control and have to use deceptive means to be in control, that there's nothing honorable about their control, you see. There really is, and they have no honor amongst each other. The things that they put on in public are nothing but side scripts that would probably not make it to the blooper reel. They would end up on the cutting room floor in a movie production studio. However, we accept this behavior. We don't stop and think that there's something wrong with that. You know, how can you have so much money? How can you supposedly own so much land or so many buildings or have control of companies around the world and control of all these people that are working for you, enriching you, making you that money? I'm not saying that in and of itself is wrong, but with the ultimate intention to take that, to say thank you for all that, by murdering millions or billions of people, or having the intent to do that, or announcing the intent to do that. It's, you know, what is the character of someone like that? What does it mean to have all that money and all that success and all that fame if it's so dark, so negative?
That has been the question throughout the ages, hasn't it? I mean, it's a difficult thing to understand, you know, because you're not there. And the problem is, you don't want to be there just for the sake of understanding them either. So I guess there's always going to be a barrier or a separation between the retrospective minds and the prospective minds, because the wiring is different. Stop and think about it. They have to be wired differently from the average person. Can you really imagine a normal human being getting all excited and contemplating the eradication of two-thirds of the planet?
Well, obviously they're not normal human beings, are they? And in fact, it raises the question. Let's take the normal out. Are they human beings?
That's an even more intriguing question. But I guess in order to answer it, you'd have to capture a few of them.
Yeah. Do they make bio suits for that?
Well, you know, sooner or later, if things go badly for those in charge, they will find themselves on the other end of the stick. And if, in fact, they are capable of all this morphing and what's the other term you call it all the time?
Shape-shifting.
Shape-shifting. It's going to come out. And once that happens, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if a few of them get peeled. I mean, you know, normal curiosity. Well, if you're not human, what are you? Let's have a look-see. And, you know, that's the kind of thing they do to other people. So what goes around comes around. They should bear that in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I have to tell you, I don't know if I still sound effervescent to you, Jim, but at the end of this hour, what I was reflecting on throughout this conversation is these photos that I was sent of this planet Balqui. And, you know, we're talking about a planet that's many light years away. And yet looking at it, you'd have to say, my goodness, this looks just like the Earth. There's a small little village in one photograph. It's actually the first one of that series that I published. And, you definitely, will think that you're looking at something in Switzerland, for example, or possibly somewhere in Colorado, more likely in Switzerland. I've seen many lakes or bodies of water that have mountains around there, snow caps in the mountains, and the grass is green, and you see all these different phenomena going on at the same time. And yet, when you're looking at it, you say, I wonder if this isn't just a picture of something on Earth. And then you see a volcano, very distinct. This volcano is so beautiful to look at that if we had one like this on the planet, it would be the talk of the town after the Super Bowl, you know. It's
in that order, of course.
Yes. And so I've been sort of reveling in this and working with these photos and putting them into this presentation. I spent a lot of meditative time picking up what it feels like being there. What, not just by its appearance, but you can sense a spirit. The energy is very different. You can sense peace on this planet. So when you're looking at these photos, you're actually seeing a peaceful place in the universe. So you know peace exists. And it's almost like you're just seeing you're seeing really the meaning of what that planet is. And it's not about the egocentric self. It's about the planet. It's about its connection to the rest of the universe. And you see that manifested. There's a picture, I may have mentioned this earlier, of two wolves standing on this ice break. And there, one is wary of the photographer, but there's an understanding between people and these animals. They don't bother each other. I don't have the statistics on animal attacks, but I don't think the people get themselves into situations where they're attacked by nature. And there is some technology on this planet, such as flying cars. And so they don't need roads, and I suppose they don't have accidents either. So they don't have insurance. And therefore, they don't have derivatives and hedge funds. See, they deal in real abundance and creativity, and they've obviously tapped into understanding the most fundamental principles of where abundance comes from and who it ultimately belongs to. We're lent the wealth that we have, but it's available to all. It's not exclusive to just a few. It's available. It was created to be available to all beings. And that's in the natural world as well as in the, dare I say, unnatural world. humanity. Because I think we have to be, on this planet, mankind has to be one of the most unnatural creatures ever created in the universe.
Well, I tend to agree with you. I don't think that's how it started off, but I've definitely given a lot of thought to the true meaning of the fall of man. And I think it has something to do with his decision to disconnect from God consciousness so that he could stand alone and revel in his own greatness, you know, but that comes at a great price. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that the price is realized until the race reaches a point where the consciousness is high enough to understand what was lost when that decision was made or however it happened.
You're describing that choice that we talk about.
You know, well, yeah, because everything is essentially a choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the irony of it is that from the perspective of earthbound man, it's very difficult to see things from the deity's point of view. And so, like, if there was an Adam, let's say, as defined in Scripture, and he made a conscious choice to separate his consciousness from God's consciousness so that he could essentially enjoy his own little domain, which is, in a sense, a sin of pride, it might take hundreds of thousands of years or millions of years, I have no clue how long ago that event occurred, for the general consciousness to creep back up to the point where the magnitude of that wrong is actually perceived with enough detail for the majority of humanity to say, hey, let's strive to regain what was lost. Now, even though that looks like a heck of a long time for mankind to be wallowing in this godless state, from the point of view of the age of the planet, the scheme of things in the universe, and God's timeless point of view, it's just a snap of the fingers, and it's totally tolerable for that amount of time to go by for man to finally smarten up. And that's the kind of thing that we need to be thinking about, is, you know, in order to raise our own personal consciousness, you have to kind of get into the stream of the main consciousness and realize that the universe looks very, very different to each creature that's in it, and it's vastly different to the person or the entity that created it. So one of the best ways of expanding your own consciousness is to mentally situate yourself, you know, in the conscious stream of a larger consciousness, even if it's only that consciousness that surrounds the planet. Doesn't matter. It'll teach you how to think in ways that puts the human experience in true perspective. And only then can you really be able to realize how little you amount to, which is a very important step.
Yes. And I feel tonight, Jim, that we followed up this show that we did last week in a very positive way, that we offered a viewpoint sort of from a summit, you know, looking back at some place where we spent a good portion of our lives, and we've moved beyond that to where we can question all of this and look at it and see it as really as a thing of the past. I'm watching things crumble apart, and the elite, as they like to call themselves, would love to have us be in fear about what's occurring. And yet all you have to do is realize that those that exert this oppressive power over us, or at least think they do, are coming to a very rapid realization that they've lost their grip, that the old methods are not working, and that they can just create new lies to replace the old ones, and that's not going to cut it, because there's no reason for them to tell the truth. If they wish to survive it all. Because the people will descend upon them like a plague once they find out what has really occurred. Now, we're not advocating that by any means, but that's just how most people are, especially the ones that are currently asleep. If they should be so fortunate as to wake up in time to possibly make a transition to a higher level of consciousness, you know, there will be a lot of people that can help them along that path. Those that are awake now are going to find it difficult, but much easier going than those that have no clue right now. And I'm sure you would agree with that too.
Oh, yeah. I would agree. I just wish that there was a more efficient way to boost the numbers. You know, that's always been something that I've contemplated. You know, some mechanism must exist somewhere, you know, that it will allow you to accelerate the spiritual evolution of more people in less time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe that's something outside our immediate control. But I can tell you one thing. If it goes the other way, and old Mother Earth decides to rectify the matter, there'll be a lot of last-minute conversions at that point. Because, you know, the situations which will be let loose on this planet will be very mind-opening. The only problem is it'll be a little late.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of late, it is late. And we have to close the show, but I want to thank you for being on Evident Footprints again tonight, and I look forward to your regular appearance again next week. Give me some feedback once you've had a chance to take a look at this video and listen as an outsider to our conversation. It's kind of interesting.
Well, I will definitely do that as early as tomorrow. And if I can find you, I'll call you and talk to you about it.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, I wish you a great weekend, Jim, and we'll talk to you next week, if not sooner.
Thank you, Don. Same to you.
Okay. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and tonight's special and regular guest, my co-host on Evident Footprints every Friday, scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, Jim Murray. Jim will be back with us next week, and I'll be back on Monday. We've got another great series of shows lined up for you. In the meantime, I want to wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light. Oh, I'm going to give my kudos to Don Newsom for making this show possible, and also Doug. And Don did the sound tonight, so Seth had the day off. Don, great job tonight, and we appreciate all that you do. You, the listening audience, thank you for tuning in, and join us again next Monday, and have a great weekend. In the meantime, have a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.